Oh, yes, my friends. It's the Sherwin Sleeve Show.
Take my hat, take my coat, take my gloves, I'll take a cup. Take my money, but I'm begging, please don't take my suit. Take my house, take my clothes, take my wife, lighten up my load. Take my feet, you can take my toes, but please don't take my zoo.
From the downtowniest part of New York City, the city that never sleeps, the city that never weeps, the city where nothing keeps. Coming to you live on WCJD 90.2, New York, high atop the Empire State Building.
Where were you on the night of June the 3rd? Well, I don't know where I was on the night of June the 3rd, but I do know on the night of January. What is it? Wednesday. Monday was the 16th, 18th. The night of January 18th, I was sitting right here listening to strange sounds from Kiev. And if you're listening, then you are too. Although perhaps it's not January. I've already forgotten it. Wednesday. Barely hold on to the days, never the number, mostly the month, sometimes the year. That's how I do it with dates and times. So we're listening to strange sounds in Kiev. And also, it's quite likely we're listening to the normal sounds of Kiev. Children and birds. In fact, I'm sure there are some people who listen to the strange sounds in Kiev, which is a popular YouTube video now for those who are interested in otherworldly activities. I'm sure there's someone who listens and watches the strange sounds in Kiev videos and thinks, well, those children, they're so peculiar. And they don't exactly hear the enormous metallic elephant that seems to be living in the sky above Kiev. They hear the birds and the children. So let's just listen to these strange sounds in Kiev for a moment. Now, I don't think that the people of Kiev broke the news on this insurgence of strange sounds around the world. But if you look into it, they do seem to be at the front end of talking about this, as though they were the first people to see the Loch Ness Monster or sight Bigfoot. Now, while it's true that I have a curiosity in phenomena of all kinds, I'm not somebody who's easily swayed or convinced. In fact, I'm on the fence about just about everything. I hardly, even at this late stage, am convinced that I am actually really here. So I've long supposed that the whole thing is a put-on. It's all an act, it's all an illusion. A dream, a stampede of rust, tricks, sound effects, and stunt work. Everything seems to me that way. So I'm as curious about a tree or walking down the street or whether I exist or not as I am in such things as the strange sounds in Kiev or UFOs or Bigfoot. Nothing seems verifiable to me. Even the famous Dick to my think, therefore I am, to me, is murky. Murky at best. I think... What do you think that is? Nothing. It's an enormous... An enormous metallic elephant. Hey, this boy and I... She says it's nothing. He says it's an elephant in the sky. I've lost my train of thought listening to the Russian boy and translating for your benefit. Now, whether I can translate or not is up to you. You can choose to believe what I say or not. Because, as I say, it's all a put-on. It's all an act. It's all an illusion and a dream. And a stampede of rust. Tricks, sound effects, and stunt work. But to better investigate this, I'd like to ask my friends, Max Arsenal and Jack Slaughter, to do what they do best and investigate. So here's a little segment, a new segment on the Radio Ghost program. Could be the last time we ever hear it, or the whole show could become it. It's called Arsenal and Slaughter Investigate. And I'm going to be relying on your phone calls, so please consider calling in on Skype Radio Ghosting to talk about your experiences with strange sounds or any other sounds, or if you've ever been to Kiev, I would very much enjoy hearing about that. But call me on Skype, Radio Ghosting. Max Arsenal and Jack Slaughter will conduct our investigation.
Nobody believes me, but I've been trapped on an airplane for the last 4 years that won't land.
Arsenal and Slaughter investigate.
There's something in my house.
Arsenal and Slaughter investigate.
I know where the treasure is.
Arsenal and Slaughter investigate.
I've seen ghosts, I've seen goblins.
Arsenal and Slaughter investigate.
You don't want to go in those woods.
Here we go.
The flat is evil.
What are all these strange sounds all over the world?
Living. Legend.
Arsenal and Slaughter investigate. And this is Max Arsenal. I'm sorry to say that my partner, Jack Slaughter, is out in the field, but he says he'll be calling in shortly, perhaps with a report or two, an update on whatever it is that he's found out about these strange sounds that are apparently popping up all across the world. In Canada, in Italy, in Kiev. I could name all the countries, all the cities on the planet. That's not true. I think I could probably name less than 1% of the different cities. Even if I tried my very best in that paper before me. But that's not the point of this. Let's talk about strange sounds, not the percentage of cities and countries I could name. So these strange sounds first came to my attention perhaps 2 weeks ago, when I listened to and watched a video out of Conklin, Canada, which, even adding that to my rather shabby collection of city names, doesn't do much to my 1%, but out of Conklin, Canada, which showed three orange fluorescent-dressed woodsmen, and who knows what they were doing. They could have been oil well dig, dip, drillers or forestry employees. It's very difficult to tell with people in the woods now, even if they look like loggers and they, because everyone's so high-tech. So they're in the forest, amongst the trees, the snow on the ground, and they're listening to this. Now, to me, that sounds like Jurassic Park or dinosaurs or something else. What's interesting about these strange sounds is that while some of them have the uniform metallic elephant in the sky sound, others of them do sound like dinosaurs. Others do sound like endless jets that just will not cross the sky but seem to lurk on the horizon, ever attempting to make their scratch across it. So a variety of strange sounds, not a single type. But amongst these varieties there are similarities. So you see a whole line of metallic elephants in the sky. They don't call it that, I call it that. And then a whole line of the endless jet, and then others that are the screeching dinosaur. As I said, I am not one who is easily swayed, and it's not because I hold myself back in some position of high reason or strict logic, or because I know something. It's not that at all. It's that I've failed to successfully agree with the premise of existence to the point where nothing seems absolutely sure. But so then I get curious about mysteries, UFOs. And I suppose in some ways there too, I'm giving away the fact that I'm not Max Arsenal, which is the whole point of this segment, is to become a second person. Max Arsenal. Well, let's continue to pretend that I am Max Arsenal and not whoever the other person is in the other show. The other show that preceded this one and this succeeded it. But so I do follow up on whatever phenomenon I can find. Because it seems to be in these little instances of peculiarity and mystery that something of interest can be discovered, more so than I could discover in simply looking out my own eyes and wondering whether I am actually here. And that's really why I go towards different mysteries. And I often think they're just human hoaxes. But it is also a part of me that succumbs to the possibility that there's something actually there. I think we're all like that. We bring a level of doubt and a level of belief to everything. Even a very severe skeptic, somebody who would say they don't believe in anything, there must be a part of them that is not so rigid and that holds on to the fact that they really don't know, that they really can't say, and that everything is possible, no matter what they think. We have one more sound clip. This is from a baseball game, I believe. Some announcers hearing the strange sounds. So these are strange sounds over the ballpark.
Hey, everyone, I'm Angela Sun. Welcome to the Yahoo Sports Minute. The old saying goes, you see something new every time you go to the ballpark. In the case of Monday night at Tropicana Field, fans heard something new, and it was a little scary.
That's a haunting sound, if we've ever heard one.
And what could that possibly be? Somebody shut the door.
It's a very brief one. And so that's at the baseball game, and it's always wonderful to hear announcers meeting up with pure mystery. Announcers in their little booth who know so much about what the world that they inhabit, the baseball, they know everything about it, the statistics, and they're entirely in control. And then this peculiar noise in the air above the stadium. It's a very likable experience. The stiffness of an announcer meeting the sound effects from Jurassic Park. So now I don't have any strange sounds experience myself. I did once travel to Taos, New Mexico, and if you know anything about Taos, you may have heard of the Taos hum. And this is a very low rumbling noise that people in the area claim to hear. Some claim to always hear it. They say it's never not there. And I think scientists have gone in to see if they could find it, and not much has been found. I did go there, and I did not hear it. I wanted to hear it, and it's odd when you want to hear something and you can't. You try to change your own abilities. You try to shift them around. So I tried to increase the power of my hearing or alter its focus in the way one might when one looks across a field and wants to focus on different things. I became very aware of my audio experience in terms of the world and trying to hear a very low rumbling in the distance. Now, one thing I just quickly want to say, I have this very short looping track of noise. And every minute and a half or so, it starts at the beginning. There's a slight skipping noise. And we'll just think of that as the strange sounds for this segment. So I have attempted to hear a strange sound. This is long before strange sounds became a worldwide phenomenon in all the cities of the world I can't name. And I did not hear it. Nor did any of the persons around me who were also straining to hear it. And then someone told us that you had to be a certain type of person, of energy crystals and things of that nature, which I was not in the possession of, in which I would have used if they said, hold these crystals and move this direction and close an eye, I would of course try. Why not? Who would not want to hear the Taos hum? I did, but I didn't. So, I'd like to ask you if you yourself have ever heard a strange sound. It can be like one of the strange sounds going around now, the strange sounds in Kiev, or the strange sound from Conklin, or any of the other strange sounds. But if you've heard one, you want to talk about it, you call me on Skype, radio ghosting. And don't forget, this is Max Arsenal. Max Arsenal. And I was hoping to play a little musical theme, but of course, the piano which worked all night long no longer works. So I should say, there are times when I also do hear the endless jet or a version of it. And in my case, there seems to be a circumstance of invisible planes that go overhead. I'm sure they're not invisible. Or maybe they are, so I'm not sure. But I can never find them. I would say once every 2 weeks. And it's always when I'm out walking when I hear them. These jets come overhead in perfectly blue sky, and I'll hear it roar across the surface of the sky above me, and I'll search and search, but I won't be able to find it, and I'll hear it banking and turning. We have a call coming in. This could be my partner. Yes, hello, have we got you?
Yes.
Let me turn down my sound effects here. Or the strange sounds will drown you out. So this is David, is it?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for calling, David. Now, have you yourself heard any strange sounds?
Yes, quite often. At the college I'm now attending, I take a lot of night classes because of my work schedule, and for some reason, no matter what the temperature is outside, no matter what time of year, after nightfall, there's always the strangest bird calls.
And now, what is the school that you go to? Or where in the country is it located? I think I've lost you. I have a message here, internet connection problem. I was calling back, I think. Oh, I'm calling him automatically. It's the sound of me pinging David. He may think it's a strange bird call. He may be looking out the window. Well, David, if you're still listening, please feel free to call back. I don't know what that was, but we got cut off. And it was just at the part where I think we're all getting interested, these unusual bird calls at night near your school. And now I'm terribly interested, I think because we've been denied any more information, which is really the first half of the charming part of mystery. Oh, he's calling me. Oh, thank goodness. David, have we got you back? I can't hear him. David, we can't hear you now. I wonder if it's the birds. That's unfortunate. I hope you'll forgive me. I'm just going to type him a text message, which you can do in these. He's going to try again. David, have we got you? Oh, that's sad. We do not. I'll try. Let me just write him that I can't hear him. I can't hear you. I'm afraid. He's trying again. David!
Yes?
There we go. Sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
It's fine.
So you were saying you have some strange bird calls at night near the university where you go to school. Now, what part of the country is this?
It's in New York.
In New York. And is this in some... is it the university about some great preserve of forest?
Not at all. It's quite close to an urban area. It makes no sense to me at all.
Are you alone in noticing this, or is this something you talk about with your fellow classmates?
It's definitely not just me. It's concern of quite of my peers.
And what do these birds sound like? Do they sound like birds, or do they sound like different types of creatures, or what?
I'm assuming it's birds. It's the best I could describe the calls. I've honestly never heard any kind of creature like that before. Some do sound like sort of exotic bird you might hear in a recording of the rainforest of something like that. But some of them are just so odd. I honestly can't even place them.
And when you hear these sounds, is it Is it something that makes you curious, or is it something that is frightening, or what is your experience when you hear them?
It's definitely an oddity, and I would, it definitely piques my curiosity. I would love to know what these are coming from. I've thought of quite a few theories. Sometimes I think it's a recording of some sort, but I have no clue.
And have you investigated this? Do you go into the woods? Do you look into the trees? Do you try to track any of these things down?
I've looked to the skies quite a few times and try to pinpoint where it's coming from. And on top of the building, I see a few crows, but they're certainly not them.
Now, have you ever looked online to see if there's anyone, any of the other students have recorded these bird sounds? I think we've lost you again. I wonder what that problem is. It's an internet connection problem. Let me just type him a thank you for that. Thank you for the call, David. Feel free to call back. But I think we got most of it. I would like to hear... This is one of those times where I think our good friend Christopher Budd could lend us his ears, as I suspect he might have some sense of... He has a better sense than I do about the creatures of the world. When I did some of the earlier episodes sitting in the woods, there were all these manner of peculiar sounds, and they aren't actually peculiar because they were raccoons and things like that, but Chris was able to identify them for me. So if there's anyone else who has a story about a strange sound or a circumstance about... Oh, we have two calls now. Chris.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. First time Jess is going to say hi to you.
Hello.
Hello, Jess. How are you?
Fine.
It's very good to speak to you after hearing about you for so long, seeing these different pictures and videos that you and Chris post. Very enjoyable, and I'm so happy that you're finally together in one small space in New York instead of...
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So I know, Chris, you had posted earlier that you have heard some strange sound somewhere, but I don't quite recall what it was.
Yes. As you mentioned, you said that you heard the jet sound. Well, I would hear a jet sound too, and it would happen at night. The strange thing is, you know, it would sound like a space shuttle taking off. I don't know if you're familiar with that real heavy rocket afterburner sound.
Not in real life, but I think I've seen videos with that, yes.
And it would just come out of the middle of nowhere. It wouldn't even rise. It would just begin. And it would go on for about 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes sustained, and then just stop.
And this is out where you live in the country and upstate New York?
Yes. And it was way, you know, way back at home. And the thing is, it always would happen at night, and you'd think if it was a plane, you'd be able to go outside, which I didn't see the flashing strobing lights, and you could never see strobing lights.
Right.
And the odd thing is, it filled the sky. It didn't sound like it was coming from any particular direction at all.
And what did you think of this? Did you think this is a plane that can't arrive, or is this a space shuttle, or did you think directly that it was a mysterious, strange sound?
You know, a few things crossed my mind. One of the first things was the mysterious sound. You hear people write up on the internet a lot about Earth sounds, and people claim that, you know, maybe they're shifting plates and you can actually hear them from time to time. Maybe was it atmospheric? Does it happen, you know, often? Is there a certain condition with the atmosphere in the area that would create this?
Right.
And another thing that crossed my mind was we're just north of Niagara Falls, and they have a couple of aerospace bases. And back, way back when, they used to actually test jets up there, so it also crossed my mind if maybe they still test jet engines on the Air Force base.
Hmm. So these jet engines would just be set out on the tarmac, and they'd be firing for some period of time, but nothing would be taking off ever.
Exactly. So you know what it is and where it's coming from, I still don't know. But it actually, the last time I heard it was about 3 days before I came home. I was in the garage and I was packing a few boxes and getting them out there, and it just came right out of the middle of nowhere and lasted about 25 minutes. And it kind of gives you chills when you can't find what you hear. You know, it's odd. Well,
especially when things like that persist for some time. Yeah. Because one thing that I think we've all learned about our world is that things tend not to last very long. You know, the jet in the sky crosses the sky in a minute. You know, the car passes you quickly. The bird sings but then stops and flies away. But when something continues for some length of time, especially a sound, it can be quite disturbing and does seem to lead your mind elsewhere.
Oh, and it does, and you're right on about the jet flying over. You know, you hear it, it gets louder, and then it gets quieter, and this was just sustained and right in your face, you know.
Well, did you watch any of the other strange sound videos on YouTube? Because there are three or four of them that do have that jet sound.
I did, and I was able to find, paging through them, you know, I heard a few of the jet sounds. It was similar, just a big rumble, just a thick rumble sound in the sky. It wasn't like the ones that sounded like a horn or I'm sure you heard those on there.
Right, yes.
But whatever it is, we don't know.
Well, I appreciate your call with your strange sound story.
Yes.
And I'm very glad that you're both there and both listening. And I hope you're enjoying the strange sounds of I've forgotten my name, Max Arsenal.
Yes. Thank you, Max.
Sure thing. Hopefully my partner, Jack Slaughter, will be calling in soon. But
yeah,
we'll be waiting. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night to you.
Bye.
Chris and Jace. They're strange sounds from upstate New York. Having quite a bit of wind here. Where I am. And also it's incredibly cold. 6 or 7 degrees out now and I can feel it. I've become one of those people who unfortunately occasionally will have a blanket over his lap. I'm the sort of person that in my younger days would point out the blanket on the lap people. I'd say to whoever I said, look over there, they've got a blanket on their lap. I don't know why I thought that was important to note. Another thing I always thought it was important to note, and still do, is anyone who's holding on to any kind of Kleenex or tissue in their hands. Especially if I've seen them several times and they always seem to have their hand full of tissue. So if there's anyone near me, I'd say, look over here. Somebody with their hands full of Kleenex. No, I don't think I should do that. And I don't think I should point out the blanket on the lap, people, because nowadays, as I'm getting older, I find myself succumbing to both states, these conditions. Handful of Kleenex, blanket on the lap. There's very little left for me to achieve, I suppose. So we will never get to the bottom of strange sounds. If you have a strange sound story, feel free to call in, but we're going to move on to part two. We'll still dismiss Max Arsenal. Goodbye, Max. Goodbye. And we'll move on to part two, which involves, as some of you followed on Facebook last week, I posted a slightly unusual experience. I was sitting downstairs watching a film, Mighty Aphrodite, the Woody Allen film, and I don't want to give too much of this away because it's in the next bit, but it involved late night police cars, flashlights in the woods, and other things, and police scanners, and other mysteries, and luckily for you, and for me, I did finally get to the bottom of it. So we'll play first my walk down to the end of this street where this police search took place as I attempted, in fresh snow, to discover what had actually happened. And then come back and I'll play the sound clip that explains in a very neat package what did happen. So here is myself going off the day after the police episode to find out what I can about the footsteps in the woods. Did I say that dramatically enough? I didn't mean to say it dramatically at all, but then all of a sudden it felt dramatic. So I fall for that with my lap blanket and my handful of Kleenex. So the footsteps in the woods. So last night, maybe 9:30 or so, sitting down watching Mighty Aphrodite, the Woody Allen film. And all of a sudden, as these things are, I see a swirl of lights, as though someone is standing outside with a flashlight, looking around my yard for something. And I get up and I go to the window. And it is, in fact, a slowly moving police car with its front right spotlight going round in the woods and against my house, looking for something. And he continued on down the road, or she. Actually, it was, I think, a woman. Continued on down the road, shining the light on all the trees, over the snow, looking for what, I wondered. A few moments later, a second police car did the same thing. Proceeded in what I gathered must be some kind of textbook searching pattern of looking. I almost imagined their lights casting exactly the same pattern upon my house and in against the snow. So they'd studied the way spotlights must be thrown across the land and how to look. If there's a house, you scan it this way. If there's land, you scan it this way. If there's trees, you search them this way, up and down. So, of course, in such instances, one becomes very much an animal. So I stood at the window, very much an animal. Not a deer in headlights, but maybe an owl in a tree. And I watched this crypt, knowing something slightly more important than a normal couple of cars, a normal experience. The two police cars went to the dead end of this dirt road, where there really is nothing and where no one ever really goes, because it's so very dead. Some dead ends end in a cul-de-sac or a basketball court, but our dead end here ends in should be a graveyard, it's so dead. I'm surprised, in fact, that the road hasn't disappeared, been retaken by the grass and the weeds and the brambles. There's so little that happens down there. But that's where they went. So despite the fact that I was temporarily an owl, I did return to my senses and remember that there is on the internet a way to listen to the local police scanner. someone recycles it or streams it onto the internet, and so I went to that website and listened for a short while to see if I could glean something from the communications of these spotlight-using police officers on the death end of my street. And I listened for 10 minutes. In the first 6 or 7 minutes, was a mix of silence and reports from other police departments about cars they were finding in the road and sending in license plates and youths misbehaving at local hockey rinks. Then finally, one of the officers that I am fairly certain was one of our officers on the search called in his report. He said something to the effect of, "We found the tracks, the footprints. We're leaving the car now, and we'll be following the footprints into the woods. And you can reach us on my cell phone." And then we went back to the window and watched the flashlights going into the woods. So now I have walked to the end of my road to where the officers drove their vehicles, and I'm going to search not only for their footprints and their path where they went, but also to see if I can discover what they were following. Very peculiar. So far I've seen only tire tracks from their vehicles, but I can't find where they might have gotten out. Oh, I've just come upon my own footsteps. That's startlingly unhelpful. It's very windy and cold. Now heading into the woods. See if I can... As if anyone was down here and they went into the woods, I imagine they would go on the path. It's obvious enough. I can't imagine anyone being down here by chance and wandering near the path but not on it. Yeah. There's nothing here but a dead body. What is your name, sir? Very unfortunate. I'll go back along the street and see if the tracks, the footprints, go anywhere else. It's almost certain that I will once again mistake my own footprints for theirs. That's a good metaphor for life, though. Constantly looking for the mysterious footprints and exclusively finding our own. Wedding rings, wild animals, and maniacs. That is what we always think. And our own footsteps is all we ever find. I'll keep looking into this, see if I can get to the very murky bottom and scoop something up so it won't be just a sort of story that is the virtual expression of the kind of road I live on. A dead end. A dead end story for a dead end street. A dead end story for a dead end street. And that, in fact, is what I thought was going to be the extent of it. There are many of these instances that we have in the world where we wonder. For example, you may see a car accident on the highway, and you wonder, well, what has happened to these people? And you want to find out, and you know there's no way exactly to find out, unless it's something incredibly dramatic and helicopters come in. It will, unless you're particularly diligent and understand how these things are, and I'm not. I know there are police blotters and other reports of accidents, but I never know where they are or how to find them. Although I am quite gifted in finding the local police scanner, I should say. But other mysteries like police at night searching in the woods, things that you see from across the way, that you peek at from behind your lace curtains. You almost never find out. But I did ask a number of people who live in the area, and in fact I asked one particular neighbor who's absolutely gifted at finding out every single thing about every single person. Incredibly nosy. In fact, if there are ever visitors to my cabin, she would call to find out who it is. And she makes no bones about it. She calls up, she'll say, I saw that there's a car in your driveway there. Who is it? And then I will say, well, that's my friend Sean. He's up helping me work on a new song. And that's it. She hangs up. So she knows everything. It's interesting about her. I'm very fascinated by this woman. I won't say her name. But despite this nosiness and this curiosity and this ability to get into everyone else's business and to know what's happening, I regard her as a kind of misplaced queen. She's very tall and very regal. And when she gets angry, she slips into the worst possible sailor foul language. It's all expletives. Horrendous. But yet I think of her as 200 years ago, I think she would have been the Queen of France or Spain. She has that feeling to me of power, very powerful person. Mysteriously not powerful now, except in this mastery of gossip. But at any rate, she called and left a message on my machine, and I'll play it now, and it explains what it was that happened that night. So here it is, the Queen of Spain from 200 years ago, reduced to Nosy Parker.
I found out that the kids from 49 that always go through the property, well, first of all, somebody 2 weeks ago broke into Joe and Sue's, which is on the other side of Dickie's in the log cabin, and Dickie was over there doing something, I think with Sue, fixing something, and then there were tracks in the snow, and I don't know. Anyway, they called the cops, and that's why the cops came down. And they followed the steps back to the kids on 49 and caught them for that. I don't know if they're the ones that broke in. They only took two lighters that you light gas grills with, so it wasn't anything serious. So everybody thinks it's just those stupid kids.
And as it turns out, once again, and it may be the new answer to just about everything, Douglas Adams thought the answer to the universe was 42. I believe it may be those stupid kids. So, from now on, if you have any problems or wonder, for example, David called earlier about the birds, the mysterious birds in the trees. He thought perhaps it was a recording. Possibly. I would just say it's just those stupid kids. And once I heard her say it was those stupid kids, I realized how many times in my life I've heard that as the explanation for a mystery. A local mystery like this one. It always turns out to be this. Those stupid kids. Sorry, David is just texting me and I'm reading what he's written. Oh, he's discovered that it may be the recording of a hawk. A hawk recording that's used to scare away other birds and rodents. But there's more information. Interesting. So it was those stupid kids. And they stole, for some reason, some grill lighters. Which is exactly the sort of thing that the stupid kids steal. Because they're not bad. They're just not any good at it. Whatever it is. They cause a ruckus and a fuss wherever they go. Whether they're in the woods making hawk noises or whether they're around Dickie's log cabin, poking around the grill. Another thing I wanted to mention, I said earlier in the recording that I was quite certain it was a female police officer, and I wondered if people thought, why, how does he know that? And I thought I would just say, the chief of police in this town is a woman. And I see her quite regularly, and she's almost always the lead figure in any local affair. So that I couldn't see her through the glass. And it may not have been her. It wasn't her on the police scanner calling in. It was one of her lower underlings. So let us move on now. We've not solved one mystery. We've solved the second, the third part of the evening, and I see it's getting late. I want to talk about some musical collaborations I've done recently with two gentlemen from New York, Roy Harter and Sean Barry of Skinny Man Studios. You can find them at skinnyman.com and take a look at some of their work. But I saw Roy doing music for the Davy Mack sports program, which is, as I often say, it is the best sports program in the universe. Now, I'm not a fan of sports, and I don't listen to sports programs often, but Davy Mack has a passion that transcends any fact or information. So his interest, his passion, his eccentricity, his mild insanity makes listening to sports talk absolutely enjoyable. I don't need him to be right or to be able to guess who's going to win the game tomorrow or to know exactly what trade would be the best for this club or that. But his passion for sports, which is almost a nonsense of passion, a confusion of passion that's so absolute. It's a fulfilling thing to listen to, so you don't have to be a sports fan. But anyway, I'm watching the Davy Mack sports program on Ustream, and I see that he's got a musical accompaniment piece. He's got someone who's got a keyboard, and Dave is referring to him as his Paul Schaefer, sort of like the David Letterman Paul Schaefer. It's the musical side of his show. And this character, Roy, at the keyboard, is tagging many of the things Dave is exclaiming about. So David will say something wonderful about some sports team, and Roy will play a bit of piano, a bit of organ, a bit of percussion, something to complement it musically. And I wrote a little message into the chat box. Well, that that's so wonderful to have. That's something I wanted to have. To have somebody who'd do a rim shot after I made a particularly wonderful joke. I don't know how many rim shots there'll ever be. But to have sound, somebody doing like a conversation, you talk, then it gets a sound with it. So I made that note, and then Roy wrote me later. And we almost instantly started working on a song. Our process was, I had started working on a song about, of all things, a sniper. I'd heard a bit on the Opie and Anthony show about this sniper, Chris Kyle. And he claimed that during the wake of one of his fellow Navy SEALs, that Jesse Ventura had made some disparaging remarks, not only about SEALs, but about soldiers and the war and all that. And Chris Kyle, this Navy SEAL sniper, who is apparently has the most, sort of an awful record, the most kills as a sniper, punched Jesse Ventura because he wouldn't stop disparaging the military, the war, and the deceased. This then became something of a scandal, and Jesse Ventura came out and said he was never knocked down by Chris Kyle, he doesn't know Chris Kyle. And then he did this on this other program hosted by Alex Jones of InfoWars. I don't know him, but he seems to be like I don't know how to describe him. An up-and-coming host in the world of conservative radio and television. That's not judging at all. And he may not even be conservative. He just sounds that way to me. And so the song itself, which sounds like it's in defense of Chris Kyle, or saying that Chris Kyle is correct, or is telling the true story, and that Jesse Ventura is lying about this punch, it's not really about that. It's more about, to my way of thinking, it's more about soldiers. And finally, it's about an interesting, what to me felt like an interesting collision of four separate units. Chris Kyle, a Navy, a SEAL sniper. Jesse Ventura, a former SEAL. Opie and Anthony, radio talk show host, Alex Jones, radio host, and all of them in different levels of reality. So Jesse Ventura was a SEAL, then he was a professional wrestler, then he was a governor. Chris Kyle, his Navy SEAL, is in a way, at this moment, moving from his secret world of snipers into the more public realm where Jesse Ventura is. And I thought it was a very interesting circumstance where no one was quite right, and we would never get to the bottom of any of it. And it was these two teams, Opie and Anthony and Chris Kyle on one side, Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura on the other, arguing about something that would never be solved, and then claiming different things about each other. So anyway, let me play the song. Now what I did was I wrote a song, sent it to Roy. He took it and absolutely rewrote it. Did all the musical instrumentation. And then I re-sang it. So this is Roy doing most of the keyboard works. I think Sean did the drumming and maybe some of the bass work, I don't know. So play that, and then one more song after that, and we'll call it a night. Chris Kyle song.
So Jesse Ventura said to a SEAL at a bar where there was a wait for a SEAL, you deserve to lose a few guys.
He told us that we were killing innocent people over there, men, women, children, that we were murderers, and then he said that, you know, we deserve to lose a few guys.
Holy shit.
And what happened when he said that to you? You slugged him? Good.
I punched him. Good.
For you.
Where'd you punch him?
In the face.
Our goal, our role, not a SEAL. Loud soul, loud say, a sin ring, never pain. can't remember falling down, falling down to the sea, till someone searched the train, to the inn, found men. We can't come home again.
If he stated that he struck me, knocked me down, and then fled, I want people to understand clearly he's confessing then to the crime of assault, and it's assault on a former governor because he never hit me. I don't even know who he is.
Kyle is saying today that he can prove this, and a lot of the guys that know about this, he finally told them, yeah, you can tell everyone what you saw that day.
I mean, the entire community has known about this.
It didn't happen.
What's going to happen, medical man? What's going to happen?
I demand a retraction.
What's going to happen, medical man? What's going to happen?
Then, of course, fiction becomes fact.
What's going to happen, medical man? What's going to happen?
Wouldn't there be a police report?
What's going to happen, American man? What's going to happen?
I want to clear his name. How timely. Obviously, I must be under some type of surveillance for people to know exactly when I would cross the border and have no means to communicate or to fight for myself.
This is the anatomy of a psyop, of a hit piece. And I mean, it sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone.
One sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine, one sent to the front, one sent to the back nine.
And so that was Roy Harter, Sean Berry, and myself. And we very, very quickly went on to do two other songs. I'll play one more tonight. When I was out on vacation, I came up with a song that I liked. I mostly liked the lyrics because they were inverted and they reminded me of some old Cole Porter type song, the lyrics did at least. The melody itself wasn't that striking, but I liked the idea of the words and I wanted to pursue them. So what I thought was, and I sang this song to myself over and over on vacation because I couldn't record it. I didn't want to forget it. And my thought was I would come back home and get to the piano and I'd be able to figure it out, as I usually can now figure out songs I come up with in the air. But for some reason, I couldn't. So I sat at the piano for an hour trying to find a single note to this song, and I could not find it. I don't know what that means, what sort of note it might be or why it escaped me. But I had some sort of limit or block there. So what I did was I sent Roy an email and attached my own singing of it. I said, "Dear Roy, I came up with this song. I can't find the notes. If you like it, maybe you can tell me the notes or find something." So I sent him 15 seconds of me singing the song dry. And here is that little bit. This is the bit I sent to Roy. "It's tired and I'm late. The old frozen fire, turn out the lake. Tomorrow we'll sleep through town. Sad every turn up, thing down. But now it's time to sweep." So, I like the idea of inverting that. Say, "It's tired, I'm late," and I imagine this scene, an old-fashioned scene of a newlywed couple in a hotel in some frosty climate, and they're so tired they can't even communicate to each other. Everything's getting inverted. Instead of saying they put out the candle, they say put out the skates and things like that, and there seemed to be a lot of opportunity to explore this language problem of two lovers late at night before they go to bed. Now, I'm going to close the show out with what Roy sent me back. And I think it's going to be the new end to the show, because it's a good way to go out, because I'm usually very tired at the end of the show. And I believe my words start to invert. They seem to invert to me. As an old friend used to say, I sometimes get my mix talked up. And that's what it seems to me when I get tired, that things begin to roll around in my brain and then come out upside down. So before we go, let me say thank you for joining me. Next week, I'll have maybe one or two more of these collaborative efforts between myself and Roy and Sean. At the moment, we're very much enjoying each other's musical, whatever it is. Just like children playing is mostly what it is. Children playing. I send this, he sends that, and then we enjoy it together. Across the distances. He's in New York, I'm here. If you want to see something interesting, go to eastsidedavecountry.com. I hope that's it. David has a video there. It's very short, 15 seconds, but you can see Roy in it. Roy does something unusual. He plays the Alpine bells, which is almost like a magician's trick. It's something you might see in a Guinness Book of World Record of plate spinning or playing wine glasses or something like that. But he has 50 bells out in front of him, and he can play songs, lifting them up and joggling them around. It's quite remarkable. You could look that up too. Alpine bells, Roy Harter, and I think you'll find something. Very unusual, very beautiful talent that makes me want to shake bells around. In a way, I'm sure it would be quite sad. So let me just briefly remind you of what I sent Roy, and then I'll play our ending song. Now, I did add one or two things to what Roy did, so it's not completely there, but he took my vocal, almost the complete vocal that I sent him in the email, and placed it into a song. And I'm telling you that because it's quite striking to think that someone else could do such a lovely thing. So here's the little bit more of my dry vocal. It's tired. And I'm late. Untie your candles. I just lit the skates. We're sweet in the sleep bed light. Count dreams to a sheeping right. But now it's time to sweep. So my friends, thank you for joining me. This episode of Strange Sounds, Police, Scanners, and New Songs. I hope you sleep well, and as always, I can't say it that way, can I? If I say, and always, then I can't say always merry and bright, because that's just too many always in a row. The record for always in a row is 4. If anyone is interested, Guinness Book of World Records, the most massive use of always in a row in a grammatically correct sentence is 4. You can try to read it if you want. Always merry and bright, my friends. Always merry and bright. It's tired. I'm late. You're frozen fire. Turn out the light. Tomorrow we'll sleep through town. Side every turn up, thing down. But now it's time to sleep. It's tired and I'm late. Untie your candles. Well, I just lit the skate. We're sitting in sleep at light. Come dreams to a sleeping right. But now it's time to sleep.
Hit a ball now. Now I lay down in the sea. time. I took Bonnie by surprise, and I took my heart and wheeled myself to sleep.
It's tired and I'm late. Your frozen fire turn out the light. Tomorrow we'll sleep through town. Side every turn up and down. But now it's time to sleep.